Britain. Britain's gin industry. Slow down. Are things about to turn bitter after a long boom?
Colonsay is a tiny Scottish island, only 15 kilometres long, in the Inner Hebrides. Its 135 inhabitants have access to one school, one shop and one post office. Residents have more choice when it comes to local spirits. The island is home to two gin distilleries, Wild Island, which was launched in 2016, and Wild Thyme, which followed a year later. It has been an intoxicating few years for British gin makers. Between 2015 and 2024, the number of distilleries jumped from 190 to 920. According to the Office for National Statistics, Britons are guzzling the stuff. Domestic sales totaled $1.7 billion, that's £1.3 billion in 2023, up from $662 million in 2008, according to IWSR, a data firm. The country is also the world's biggest exporter of the spirit. Over the same period, British sales abroad rose from £396 million to £578 million. Deregulation kick-started the ginaissance. For centuries, producers were subject to the Gin Act of 1751, which prescribed the way gin could be made and sold. The law dictated that gin had to be made in stills with a capacity of 1,800 litres or more, in effect banning all but the largest manufacturers. The act was an attempt to suppress a gin craze. In early 18th century London, adults were drinking half a pint, almost 300 millilitres, of low-quality gin a day. The disorder that ensued was captured in vivid drawings by William Hogarth. By the early 21st century, the tipple was thought of more as a civilized aperitif than a harbinger of chaos. But the law remained. As Sam Galsworthy, Fairfax Hall, and Jared Brown discovered in 2007 when they tried to set up a company with a 300-litre still. After 2 years of ginning up support for a repeal of the law, they succeeded. When they launched their brand in 2009, Sipsmith was only the 12th gin distillery in Britain. Doing away with the 18th century edict set off a second gin craze. Today, almost 90% of distilleries have fewer than 10 employees. You can buy a gin made in Gatwick Airport or steeped with botanicals grown at Buckingham Palace. By making small batches, micro-distilleries can experiment with flavours and focus on seasonality. In the lead-up to Christmas, shelves are stocked with sloe, clementine and spiced varieties. Fortnum & Mason, the luxury department store, offers a mince pie and marmalade gin liqueur. Yet, after 15 years of good times, many gin makers are dispirited. In January, the UK Spirits Alliance, or UKSA, an industry group, observed that 80% of an average spirits bottle is taken as tax, and that Britain's spirits duty was 77% higher than the average across EU member states and the highest in the G7. In its October budget, the government increased the duty per bottle of gin by another 4%. The UKSA says a national success story is imperiled. Patrick Fisher of IWSR predicts that sales in Britain will decline over the next 5 years. As well as steep duties, distillers are grappling with high costs for raw materials such as grains and glass. They are passing on the cost to consumers, many of whom are cutting back on indulgences because of the high cost of living. Lots of drinkers are thinking of their lives as well as their wallets and turning to low or no alcohol alternatives. The gin industry may soon find itself in need of a tonic.